Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Well, 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 time for the bliss of marriage. Part one, every Tuesday between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, and every Wednesday is between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. 084-786-3132 to the international overseas countries, plus 2784-786-3132. I want to welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, and of course I want to welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome my engineer, brother Tobella, full of smiles this morning. I don't know what's on the menu, brother Tobella. Fadilatul Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ustaz, somebody sent me this message as I'm coming to work. It says, Mufti Sahab, this is for the bliss of marriage. I would like to know if my wife passes away, am I allowed to go down in the grave as a husband for the one more last time just to hold her? Ustaz.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to all four schools, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, Hanafi's, for you to look at your wife after she has passed on, for you to carry the janaza, the mayyit, and then to go down in the grave, all that is totally permissible. However, according to Hanafis, there is one condition. You cannot be touching your wife skin to skin. But what you are asking, to go down in the grave and bury her, totally permissible according to all four schools.
Somebody is saying, Honorable Ustaz, that, how do I deal with my brother-in-law? Every time my wife and I have problems, she runs to him and he threatens to beat me up just because he is butch and looks like an oversized truck tire. Is this right, Mufti Sahab?
Obviously, it is not right. You must remember that you and your wife, you'll need to cement your relationship and for her always to go and to your brother or her brother and so forth, and he then threatens you. All that is unacceptable, not permissible. However, there are three, four issues we must clarify here. Number one is this, that why are you treating your wife badly? What are the reasons that she's running away to her brother and so forth? There must be some problem. So both of you need to sit down, have a heart-to-heart talk, and try and enhance your marriage. How are you going to enhance your marriage? Now we are in 1441, so start reading more and more, Rabbana hablana min azwajina, wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. O beloved Allah, grant us our spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Read, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. Ya Allah, you are the creator of love. Unite us, our bodies, our hearts, Ya Almighty Allah. Third one, you don't have to wait for Ashura only. Then next week Monday night or next week Tuesday. So you spend on her. Even now you should be spending on her. This morning I was telling some students who I teach, I told them that we were discussing the chapter of mahar. I said one is the mahar we give when we perform the nikah, the 1,000 rand, 5,000 rand, 13,000, 15,000 rand, $1,000. But remember that morally speaking, you should be giving your wife an allowance every week, every month. So it is no big deal. She is fulfilling so many portfolios, cleaning our house, looking after our children, and cooking for us, and doing so many other things. So therefore, the husband should win the heart over of the wife, and then there will be no problems. So the wife is definitely wrong, but your husband try and win her over, then these type of things will not occur.
Ustad, you have to listen to this question. It says here, Anonymous says, Mufti Sahab, I am getting treatment for jadu. Whenever I see my local Mufti, I feel very scared in my heart. What does this mean, Mufti Sahab? And now and then, Mufti Sahab, he was smiling at me. Ustad, Anonymous.
Remember, first thing, whether it is Hafiz Sahab or Maulana Sahab or Mufti Sahab or Imam Sahab, whoever it is, you must never be alone with them. Remember, that is a recipe for disaster. And if that Mufti Sahab, Maulana Sahab has some fear of Almighty Allah, he himself will tell you that you bring your husband with or bring your brother with and so forth. Otherwise, so many incidents we know, the person who was treating the patient, then he took advantage of her, and then one thing led to another, Allah forbid. So that is the first thing. Second thing is this, if you feel that maybe he wants to get so close to you, stop going to him and remember that you go to somebody else. And most important, read the manzil daily, give out charity daily, stay in wudu as far as possible, so then you won't have to go to anybody. These are mechanisms and ways and methods how we protect ourselves from jadu, witchcraft, and all these type of harmful things. The people who dabble in witchcraft, remember that they are not committing a saghira, a minor sin, nor kabira, a major sin, but akbarul kaba'id, the worst of sins. And therefore, Imam Malik says, people who dabble in witchcraft, make jadu, they're out of the fold of Islam. Majority scholars say they are Muslim, but remember that they are skating on very thin ice, meaning just barely they are Muslims. So it is absolutely haram and not permissible.
Ustaz, the sister says that she's from Durban. My marriage is on the rocks because, Mufti Sahab, I am a Tablighi and my husband is a Sunni. Mufti Sahab, my nanny passed away and the janaza is this afternoon at about 3:15. But Mufti Sahab, my husband wants to recite salami before janaza salah. What should I do, Mufti Sahab? Is it permissible?
Remember, the biggest problem here will be that when you got married, then you should have looked at one another, compatibility and so forth and so on. Now, because of these type of things, now you are saying your marriage on the rocks. My advice to you will be, if there are children and all that, you must stay in the marriage. You can't be walking away. These are things you must remember that people will argue about and so forth and so on. So we will say that the best thing for you is to go to your local ulama and your jamiats and so forth, and they speak to both of you. And in that way there, they can solve the problem. If you know that all these type of things, you know, cause you break your marriage, then rather you go and make wasul khair, reconciliation is the best, and don't try and break the marriage, because you can try and solve the problems. So go to your local ulama or jamiats. Allah make it easy for you.
Ustaz, can a wife give zakat to her husband, or can a wife give zakat to her ex-husband? Ustaz?
Remember that for a husband to give his wife zakat, not permissible. For a wife to give her zakat to her husband, not permissible. For what you want to give zakat to your ex-husband, you still got feeling for him. One thing will lead to another. And remember that then you will start communicating, chatting, maybe not with the telephone, but with the WhatsApp and with all these sending messages to one another. So you're opening yourself up for a lot of fitna in this time of things. So therefore, my advice to you will be, abstain from it.
Ustad, a sister from Actonville says, for example, if one's husband would like his wife not to wear her scarf sometimes, is it permissible, Ustad?
It depends where you're speaking about. If she doesn't wear her scarf in the house and they're alone, so that's fine, there's no problem with that. But if you are speaking about she must not wear the scarf, or she must not wear the burqa, or she must not wear the hijab, the parda, all that outside, so that's totally haram and not permissible. Because Quran Sharif teaches us, Surah 33, Surah Ahzab, verse 59, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kulli azwajik, tell your beloved wives, wa banatik, your beloved daughters, wa nisa'il mu'mineen, and the believing men, their women, so our wife, our mother, sister, daughter, yudneena alayhinna min jalabi bihin, they have to wear the hijab, the parda, so that is wajib and compulsory.
Somebody send a message right now, Ustaz, says that, Mufti Sahab, what are the reasons that people divorce? What are also legitimate reasons and what are the naive reasons, Ustad?
The biggest reason why people divorce, Allah forbid, is because ana khayrun min. They bring the slogan of shaitan in their life. The husband says, I must do everything, must be done my way. If you don't do it my way, then you catch the highway. And the wife also will not keep quiet. She will say, you know, bring all the satanic thoughts. It is my democratic right to tell you nonsense and what have you. So she goes on and on. So that is when both parties want to be dominant. Both parties want everything their way. Instead of giving in, instead of, you know, one party asking forgiveness to the other party, reconciling, wasulhu khair, reconciliation is the best. Both of them want to show pride. Both of them want to become dominant, and that is how you are on a clash course, you are on a conflict zone, and that's why you find so many problems. Second one is this, because there's no taqwa, there's no piety. Nor the husband reads his 5 daily salat, nor the wife reads the 5 daily salat. Secondly, there's no tilawat of Quran. They spend hours and hours on the movies, on the TV. They spend hours and hours on the cell phone. The husband is busy with his girlfriends, or he will say business associates. She is busy with her old flame she met in school. So all these things, yeah, they contribute to the destruction of the marriage, and then divorce takes place, Allah forbid. Third one is that sometimes there is abuse from the husband, that he's hitting his wife, assaulting his wife, and so forth. So the wife says that, you know what, I made all the sacrifices. I left my parents, I left my place of birth, I left my siblings, and now you coming here and bashing me up. So all that also happens. Sometimes the husband is having string of affairs. Sometimes the wife is busy with her boyfriend and her toy boy and joy boy. So there are multiple reasons one can cite. But the main reason, if you study society, then you will find is the taqwa. Therefore, when we perform the nikah, Mauna Arafat performs the nikah, I perform the nikah, whoever, we read certain verses from the noble Quran. And every verse has to do with taqwa through piety, Allah consciousness. When that element is there, then the marriage will survive and things will move forward and progress. When that element of taqwa is reduced or it is detached, then remember its collision cause, and therefore you see that so many marriages end up in divorce. And one is plain simpleton, you know, that the husband just shouts the wife and she starts crying because she was brought up in the lap of luxury. She was pampered from the day she was born till she was 18, 20, 22 years old. And now the parents also, common sense is no more so common. So they also just listen to her and then they pick her up. So that is what you will say, the naive reason. We're dead against these type of things here. And we always say, you the parents, teach your daughters some common sense before you send them. You know, our old people, our dada, dadi, grandparents, our parents who passed away in the 60s, 70s, 80s, when the son would get married, the daughter would get married, they would tell them, that see, daughter, Betty, you're going into that house, you stay married, and your janaza also must come out from there.
Allah.
Imagine. That is what they should say. The day you pass away, it must not come out from our house, it must come out from your husband's house. So they were trying to tell her that you must save the marriage. Marriage can be a bed of roses, but sometimes marriage can be a bed of thorns also. So it is what we make out of it. So therefore, marriage is wonderful and excellent. Therefore, the ulama wrote that if the husband-wife click, then remember, it is a very, very long, long, long honeymoon. And it's Jannat on this earth. And if they are don't clicking, every day there's fight, every day there's conflict, every day tension, then remember, it becomes Jahannam and hellfire on this earth. That is what you see that's happening. Allah protect us all.
I mean, Ustad, we go to Senton. This is a concerned mother. She says, Mufti Saab, I love listening to the bliss of marriage. There isn't a Tuesday, Wednesday that I don't miss the bliss of marriage. This is behalf of my daughter. A husband that leaves his wife all the time, saying he's going out to call people to Islam, using months, years, without being concerned about the wife's feeling. I'm very, very hurt, Ustad.
If you are speaking about a brother who is in Tabligh Jamaat or in the Dawat and so forth, and then he leaves his wife and he says that he's going out here, there, locally, overseas. So that is not the way the word Jawak works. Jamaat works, works like this, that the person must make mashura with the elders, make mashura, discuss the issue with his wife, and discuss it with his parents, and so forth, and he makes all the necessary arrangements, and then you go. Inna Allah qad a'ta kulla dhi haqqin haqqa. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the famous Hajjatul Wida khutbah, the last pilgrimage, the final pilgrimage, where Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bid farewell to the Ummah. So there the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Almighty Allah has given every person their rights who are eligible to rights. So your wife has rights, your children have rights, your parents have rights. Yes, the Ummah also got rights. Dawat and Tabligh is important, but not that you do so and just leave your wife there like that, and then she becomes a burden on other people because now there's no food or no money, no security. You know, South Africa is not a very safe country, and all these matters have to be taken into consideration. So therefore, my brother, you got the wrong end of the miswak if you are really doing that.
Hussein Anonymous, is masturbation allowed in Islam? If not, what are the punishments for that?
Remember that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in the beginning of chapter 23, Surah Mu'minun, the beginning of the 18 Jews, the 18th part of the Noble Quran. So Almighty Allah teaches us, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. They are those people who guard their private part. And if they fulfill their lust, desires, passion is with their wives and so forth. Then Allah says, فَمَنْ اِبْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. If you are doing masturbation and all these type of things, then you are adun, you are transgressors, you go beyond the limits and is sinful and not permissible. Therefore, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was asked, what is the ruling regarding istimna, masturbation? And he read this verse here that I read now to show that it is not permissible. When something is not permissible and people continue doing it, then remember they become cursed by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and they are deprived of the special mercy. So what is the solution? Islam gave us 2-3 solutions. Solution number 1, you perform nikah. Solution number 2, you should fast. And if still you cannot control yourself, then you should then fast so may Dawood. One day you fast and one day you don't fast. And in that way, that will break your desires, and then you will control your nafs and your inner self, your ego and lust and passions. So everything you will find the solution in the Quran Sharif, in the Sunnah Mubarakah, provided we ourselves want that solution. Today people say, no, I want solution, but they want a solution that suits their desires. No, the solution will be in suppressing our desires. Then we will become better Muslims.
Allahu Akbar. 23 minutes after 11, you are tuning in listening to The Bliss of Marriage. I see a student of Deen says, Mufti Saab, I just want to know Islamically, Mufti Saab, I'm married only for 3 weeks and we're having so much of problems. My husband, every word is F and B. He is a very short-tempered person. He smokes weed also, Mufti Saab. And he says every marriage has to have problems. So Mufti Saab, I want to know, being a student of Deen, does Mufti Saab and Apa Fatima also have problems, Mufti Saab, when you people just got married? She's only 3 weeks married to start.
Remember, I'm amazed at the question. There seems to be so many contradictions here. Number one is this, that you are married for 3 weeks. So when the proposal come, did you do any homework on that person's taqwa, on his character, on his piety or so forth? Or did he just come with a BMW, be my wife, and you said yes? Ask yourself that question. Second one is this, what were the reasons you and your parents agreed? If it is correct what you are saying, that this person is such, every second word, third word is just F&Bs. So alhamdulillah, we don't do this type of things here. Allah protect us. So every marriage will have some up and downs, but not the way you are speaking and what your husband is saying. And then to make the matters worse, he's even taking weed and all these type of things. So imagine that way to where this thing is going to lead. And this is in the first 3 weeks of your marriage. You need to have a heart-to-heart talk with your husband. And if he doesn't listen, then speak to your parents and tell your parents to speak to his parents or his brother or whoever is senior. And I don't know, you say you are a student of deen. I don't know if he's also studying. Then maybe you can speak to his teachers or somebody who's senior in his family.
No, he's a business person.
If he's a business person, then speak to somebody who has some influence over him. Otherwise, Allah forbid, if this is happening in the first 3 weeks, Allah alone knows what will happen after 2-3 years. And then you might have a child or children, and things will go very bad then. So what you'll need to do is, you need to nip it in the bud. You are a student of deen. You know now when he's in a good mood. Show him these verses. Surah 4, verse 19. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ O husbands, treat your wife with love, with equity and respect. Number 2 is, show him the verses. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا Speak to people properly with akhlaq and good character. How can he be swearing you every second, third sentence of his? And then fourth one about the weed. Show him the Quranic verse. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا So all this, you have to win him over, but do so when he's in a good mood and you're alone with him, not in front of visitors and so forth. So he has to change his character. He has to detach and divorce himself from the weed and all these type of things.
He's a short-tempered person.
Yeah, and the short-tempered is all from shaitan, and it is a consequence of people's pride. Remember that. So when we feel we are very superior, then the anger also comes in. And so forth. So you have to teach him, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. You have to teach him to make wudu, that when he's angry, he has to change his posture and position. Read A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. If you are a student of deen, you know what Quran Sharif is teaching us. You know what the Sunnah Mubarakah is teaching us. So you need to educate your husband. And when he is on a short fuse and is swearing all that, just keep quiet. Don't retaliate, because then things will just get worse. He might even then assault you and so forth. But do the speak to him, and if things get better, alhamdulillah. Ameen. Otherwise, speak to your parents, to speak to his parents, and maybe you get somebody from outside who has some influence over him. This is an abnormal situation. It's not normal. This.
Subhanallah. Ustaz, would you like to give some remedy for the student of deen, for your
yes,
marriage.
You must read Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Read the Asma'ul Husna abundantly, and read Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud. Daily take out some charity, even if it is 50 cents, 1 rand, 2 rand, and beg Almighty Allah Jalla wala, Ya Allah, I made the sacrifice that I left my parents, I left my siblings, I left my place of birth, and I got married to this person. And obviously that you did not know that this is how he behaves and what have you. So ask Almighty Allah Jalla wala wa dakhilna fi rahmatik. Ya Allah, include us in your special mercy. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. Oh Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. So only Almighty Allah can help you, sister.
Somebody is asking, may you please quote for me the Quranic verse or hadith which prohibits a woman from cutting her hair. Ustad.
The hadith is mentioned in Jami'u Sagheer. Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi sallam al-hurra. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi sallam prohibited the female from cutting her hair. Open Jami'u Sagheer under the ahadith of Naha. If you know anything of hadith, you will know that the ahadith quoted in Jami'u Sagheer are alphabetically. The ahadith with alif, innamal amalu bin niyat in the starting, and then in the ending you will find the ahadith with noon. So look at the ahadith of manhiyat, the ahadith of prohibition, and you will find it there that you must remember for the women to cut their hair is not permissible. Second one, that man tashabba biqawmin fawa minhum, the hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood. Whoever imitates the people is part and parcel of them. So why the woman want to cut the hair today? Either they are Eve, they want to become like Steve, they want to imitate men, or either they want to imitate the fahishat, that the immoral ladies, the actresses, or the air hostess, or this one, or that one. So remember, Islamically, you know that all these things are not permissible. So we need to be very, very careful. What Islam taught us is always the best. The hadith is mentioned, here's another hadith for you, mentioned in Mustadrak Firdaus by Allama Daylami rahimahullah, that the malaika and angels, they make special dua for who? Subhana man zayyana rijal bil liha, that everlasting beauty, everlasting glory be for Almighty Allah, who beautified the man with the beard, wan nisa bi zawaib, and the women with the long, long hair. So that is what Islam teaches. For you to go and trim it, cut it, all that not permissible, unless you are in Hajj and Umrah, then it's a separate issue. But in your hometown and in South Africa and other countries, so definitely not permissible. And the aim here is we want to mimic and imitate the Western culture. So therefore, it's not permissible.
Ustad, urgent question from coming from Durban. I'm just reading the message as we go along. Okay, it says your brother Fakir. He wants to know, Ustad, that my daughter is 16 years old. She will be finishing Alima course this year. And she received a proposal from a very learned Alim. The learned Alim is married, Ustad, but of course he wants my daughter, who is 16, to be his second wife. A lot of people are saying the community, don't turn the proposal down because he's very learned and pious. Ustad, your advice on that, brother Fakir?
My brother, seeing that you're asking me for my advice, I don't know you, I don't know your daughter, I don't know that so-called pious alim or whatever. But if she's my daughter, and that is what Islam taught us, al-mustasharu mu'taminun, the person you're making mashura with, remember that he must be honest to you. If it's my daughter, never mind giving, I'll never not even consider it. Number one is this, your daughter is 16 years old. So what is the real hurry? So she is still nadan, she is baligha, she is baligh and mature. But mentally, she's not prepared for marriage and all that in most instances today. So you must remember that let her learn. You say she's completing her course and so forth, and tell her she mustn't call herself Alima. That's how they grow horns and all these type of things. She must tell people she's a Taliba, she's a student. Second thing is this, that Alima today is a very big thing, you know. So anyway, tell her that you want my advice, just say we won't even consider it. Why must she go in as a second wife and all this type of things? She's so young. And she must learn of how to run a home. She must learn about cooking. She must learn about sewing. She must learn about computers. All in the confines of a house so she can become an asset to her husband. Second one is this, that Alim is married. Maybe he got children. Maybe he's very pious. All that Mubarak to him. But for you to even consider it, in my opinion, remember, is a non-starter. Don't even think about it. And don't fall for the tricks of people, you must remember. People will make a lot of stories, but when problems come, they all run away. So let your daughter, she's still 16 years old, and mashallah, when she's 17, 18, 19, you get her married to somebody who doesn't have wife and children and all these type of things. Because today, remember, 90%, 80% of the husbands, they don't exercise true justice.
Allahu Akbar. Beautiful, beautiful answer. Ustad, brother Fakir wants to know, what must he tell the pious learned Alim, Ustad?
Tell him we made istikhara and the istikhara came out negative. Simple answer.
Simple answer. Brother Tobela, let's go for an ad break. When we come back from the ad break, I've got a very important, mashallah, good question to ask my beloved Fadila to Ustad. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
23 minutes to 12, you are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage. I see Nani wants the podcast. Inshallah, we will send it to you, Nani. Our beloved engineer, Brother Tobela, will do that for you. This one says, Ustad, I want to get married, but I have a serious problem. I took a keen interest in bodybuilding, and I took steroids. Now my entire body is affected. What do I do, Fadila to Ustad?
Obviously, when you go for a proposal or you go for the samosa run, as people call it, and so forth, you're going to go here, go there, you need to be honest with them, you know. And you need to tell them that, you know, that you are doing bodybuilding and this happened, whatever. Because once you get married, then everything will blow out of proportion. And then they will tell people that this happened to you internally or whatever. So my advice to you, honesty will be the best policy in this case here. Therefore, for you all to take all these steroids and all these type of things, you see, the problem with the world today, this you call the university of life. People say they went to this university. This is the university of life, real life. One is you watch your TV, this, all these type of things. I'm not saying it's permissible. We always say it's not permissible. But I want to tell you what's happening. So that's a life of fantasy. You must remember, people do this, people do this. Now when you're watching, you feel that, hey, let me also try, let me do this. This is the life of reality. People's lives are at stake. People's emotions are there. You now got married. In all good faith, your father-in-law, mother-in-law were happy. Your wife was happy. Their daughter was happy. And now, when she gets married to you, they see internally that you know everything is not right. There are problems with you, even physically and so forth and so on. So remember, then they will be the one who will then give the message out to everybody that this guy is like this, he's got this problem. So it is in your interest. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us the hadith in Tirmidhi, La yambaghi lil mu'mini ay yudhilla nafsa. It's not permissible for a Muslim person to go and disgrace himself. So when you know there is a certain problem, then you need to be, you know, come out honestly and tell them, and in that way, don't just take the girl and make everything is very fine, and they look at you, you look like a smart hunk and a smart punk, and all these things, yeah, and they say yes, but internally things are mixed up, you know.
So somebody says here that, is it permissible for a child, to break up relationship with her mother and her granny? It says here, if the mother and the granny are wanting to break up her marriage, for the little start.
Yeah, there are three aspects and perspectives. Number one, you, the daughter, this granddaughter, you should be reading the Quran Sharif, Surah 47. And that is Surah Muhammad, named after Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verses 22 and 23. And what Almighty Allah states in Tawallaytum, that when you have authority, antufsidu fil ardh, then you cause mischief, mayhem on this earth, watuqatti'u arhamakum, and you sever the family ties, ulaika alladhina la'anahumullah, those are the people Allah curses them. Curse means Allah deprives them of His special mercy. For aswammahum wa a'ma absarhum, Almighty Allah makes them spiritually deaf, spiritually blind. Chapter 47, verses 22-23. So, if what you are saying is true, my daughter, that your mother, your granny want to break your marriage, and you feel that you are happy in your marriage and so forth, then don't sever ties with them. Remember, just curtail ties. Just make salam, how are you, and finish it up. So, Dev, don't sever ties totally. You must cement your relationship with your husband. Therefore, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wonderful, beautiful teaching. The Master alayhi salatu salam was, is, will always be the only rahmatul lil alameen. See what the Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Inna a'adama an-nasi haqqan ala rajul ummuhu. That the person who has the greatest rights over the male, even after his marriage, is still his mother. وَإِنَّ أَعْظَمَ النَّاسِ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمَرْأَى زَوْجُهَا. The person who has the greatest rights over the female is a husband. So you must cement, the hadith in Mustadrak Hakim, you must cement your ties with your husband, and if you got children, mashallah. So if your mother, grandmother, why, I don't know why, what is the reason why they want to break your marriage and so forth, that they will know. But if what you are saying is true, then you continue enhancing, improving your relationship with your husband, and don't listen to them, because sometimes they also have hidden agendas and ulterior motives.
Was that somebody asking for advice? It says here, move this up, a man that always forced his wife to have intimacy with her. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, never have intimacy with your wife without messages. It says that is kisses, hug, romance. You can't just come from work, move this up, and be expecting intimacy. She's not a prostitute. And if you do all this and she's not playing along, don't force her, move this up. Try to control it. Gee.
Yes, remember, in Islam, it is a give and take relationship there. It's not that the husband just comes and now he just whenever he feels like. In Islam, you must look at your wife, you must try and, you know, it is a two-way relationship. Therefore, Quran Sharif mentioned it so beautifully, Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. They, the wives, are the garment for you, and you, the husband, you are the clothing and the garment for her. Now, what does this mean? You see how our clothing is near our clothes, our body. How our clothing brings us warmth in winter. How our body, our clothing covers our scars or bruises or marks or whatever. So marriage must be like that. That you must be near one another. You embrace one another. This body heat and so forth. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out after ghusl and then embraces Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Yastadfi'u biha. Open Mishkat Sharif. Open Mustafa Ahmed. So to take warmth from his honorable wife. So that is what you must do, my brother. Even if there's no intimacy and all what you want to do, but at least you come, you kiss her, you hug her, she feels wanted and so forth. You don't reduce her, remember, just to fulfilling the bedroom, bathroom relationship and just finish up. No. So the hadith is mentioned in Sunan Sa'id bin Mansur. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about Rasul. So the people asked, Mar Rasulu ya Rasulallah? What do you mean we must send a messenger to our wives and so forth? So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Qublatu wal-Kalam. First there's kissing, there's romancing, all that. What today the people call foreplay. Let me go one step ahead. In Islam, first you have foreplay. In Islam, then you have the actual act of conjugal relationships and intimacy. And in Islam, you even have afterplay. So it's not that you are satisfied, you just turn around and you sleep. You understand? And then they say sleep like a baby. You understand? So you must remember this type of thing. Why? Because he's finished with his marriage. No. Marriage is partnership. It's not dictatorship. So that is Islam, all three. So your wife is 100% right that what you are doing is wrong. But by the same token, you, the wife, sometimes when your husband is a weekend or something, and now he wants, you know, to be sleeping or something, so you also sometimes seduce him, give him a surprise one. You understood? So in that way, there, husband, wife start clicking with one another. But what happens is this, that the wife keep on saying no, 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 so then things go bad to worse. So it's again give and take situation.
I see Ba from Nigel says, Assalamu alaikum, Biju Ba, sleep like a baby. I like those words. He says, I don't sleep like a baby, I have to take a sleeping tablet.
Yeah, you must read Aitul Kursi.
Ustad, the sister says, I got married at the age of 21. Now I'm 26. I have been married for the past 5 years. My husband is from Morocco. Within these 5 years, not once has he taken me to Morocco to meet his family. He doesn't let me speak to his mother. He says it's a language barrier. He has been to Morocco thrice, but refuses for me to accompany him. Saying he needs his space, I am worried, Mufti Saab. I am being taken for a ride. This is my daddy's best friend. Now my father can't even look at me in my eyes. He feels so sad and down. Ustad.
Whenever people get married to foreigners, whether it's Moroccan or whether it's Pakistani or Indian or Egyptian or whoever, I give three advices. Number one, do your homework properly that this person does not have a wife and children in his home country. Because when they come here, and then they are Arabs, or Urdu speaking, you know, Pakistani, India, Indian, and so forth, so then they will speak in such a manner like the big, big buzuruks and pious people. One. So you have to make your own investigation and inquiries. One. Number two is this, sign a contract. That is what we call tafwizut talaq. Because we have 101 incidents that your husband went to Morocco, mashallah, still he came back after the 3 times. You get others that they have a good time here with their wife and so forth, and then they gone back to Morocco, gone back to India, Pakistan, Egypt, wherever, Nigeria, where Somalia, wherever they gone, and there's no trace of them, and now you are kal mu'allaqa, you're just hanging. You don't know whether you're the wife or he finished you up or what, you know. So the tafwizu talaq will be the contract. If you do A, B, C, then you, the wife, will have the right to exercise talaq. That if you go back to your country and after 2 months, 6 months, 1 year, you don't return, then she will exercise that right of talaq and so forth. So you are safeguarding your own future and your own interest. And third one, your father, because he was the best friend, and this person already had a hidden agenda. He wasn't just your father's best friend for nothing. His one eye was on your father, and one eye was on you. So your father fell in his trick and in his trap, and therefore now he can't look at you in the eye, because he can see that how this person is not really being honest to you. 90%, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. He has a wife or he has a children, he has this. So therefore, he doesn't want you to have contact with his mother, not contact, because she will say and tell you that, you know what, he's got a wife here, he's got children here, everything. So she will divulge everything. So he's just pulling the wool over your eyes.
Barrier language.
Yeah, barrier language by this and saying, no, you don't know Arabic and all these type of things. So this. So you know little, but you're staying with him. At least you can speak to the mother, say, Kaifa haluk, and all these type of things. But all this is a camouflage. So anyway, you married now. So then at least he's coming back. So now make dua and all, may Allah turn the negative into a positive.
Ameen, 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 ameen. Well said, Ustad. My husband has a child from his previous marriage, Ustad. His own mother or grannies don't care, but they make remarks to me that nobody cares for the child. Anonymous, Ustad.
Yesterday, a person asked me a question in a masjid or somewhere. And they said, if I marry that lady there, this new wife, and his wife passed away or something, and he's got a daughter, he's got a son, can he impose it upon this new wife that she must take care of his son or his daughter from his wife who he divorced or she passed away? I said, no, you can't do that. You must remember, whatever she does for your son, your daughter, she is doing a favor. It is not her child. So therefore, the family must look after it. And you're not the family. So where is the original, the biological mother? If she passed away, then where is the grandmother? Where are the khalas? Where are the masis? So it's their responsibility. So the maternal aunties, paternal aunties, they are the ones should be looking after. If you, as the stepmother, because now you married this person, and Allah gave you that magnanimous heart, you are prepared to look after this child, so that Allah Ta'ala will reward you. But remember that, technically speaking, is it your duty? No, it's not your duty. It will be just the goodness of your heart and the magnanimity and generosity of your heart you are doing it. So we need to know, it's not you are guilty, they are guilty for shirking their responsibilities.
Ustad, it says, just wanted to know that Alim say do a background check up on who you marry. But then why some say it's takdir who you marry? I read one place, it says that your spouse's name is written on Lawhe Mahfuz. So sister says, Ustad, and Allah created everyone and we took the covenant, so it means whoever is going to be our kids was written. Allah isn't creating anyone now. We all were in Allama Arwa together, Ustad.
Remember that there is taqdeer, and with taqdeer there is tadbeer. Almighty Allah gave us the ability to use our intelligence, our intellect. You see a hole there, and then you drive in that hole. You walk in that hole, and then you say it's taqdeer. No, that is foolishness. So you must remember that when we tell you, you must do a check and so forth. That's exactly what Islam is teaching, that you must make mashura, you must make istikhara, all these type of things. So our checks and balances are there. You can't just go into blindly into something. In business, you will not do that. And you say that I want to invest 1 million, 500,000, 100,000. You will go and find out. So marriage is more important than business because it is for keeps. That person will be your partner till death, you know, your husband or your wife. So therefore, yeah, you have to do more checkup and so forth. The checkup is that person belonging to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah? That person mustn't be a Shia, a Qadiani, Ahmadi, Aga Khani. These people are not even Muslim. Second one is this, that where does that person read Salat? You know, the woman's family, they make check-up on the boy who proposed. And who does he keep contact with? What is his age? What is his income? Where does he work? All these things are essential. Where will you live after your marriage? So then you are minimizing the risk. Otherwise, remember that you just give your daughter like that, and then you hope, and then you say it's taqdeer. So remember that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked, that he was a genius, a linguist par excellence. He said that when he was asked, that what is taqdeer? The person was standing, he told him, pick up your leg. He picked it up. He said, pick up your other leg also. He said, I can't. So he said, that is taqdeer. So till a certain extent, Allah Ta'ala gave us choice. So use your aql also. Therefore, the Jahannamis, when Allah dispatches them to Jahannam and the hellfire, Allah protect us, they will say, Lo kunna nasma'u o na'aqilu, ma kunna fi ashabi sayyid. If we heard the wahi, the Quran and the sunnah and the teachings of the anbiya and messengers, O na'aqilu, or we use our intelligence and intellect and common sense, which is not common nowadays, ma kunna fi ashabi sa'ir, then we should not have been the companions of the fire. There you have it from Quran. So aql also got a role to play, and we must use it and don't blame taqdeer for our own mistakes and our own shortcoming.
Respected Mufti, my husband fights a lot with me, and I know he is cheeky, but in the meantime, I got him having an affair, and he says, I am to blame, but do everything for him, Mufti Sahab. Now he says, Jannat lies under his feet, and I won't get Jannat. What should I do? And that woman used to tell him, I am stupid, I need a wake-up call. And she used to encourage him to fight with me. Please help me, Mufti Sahab.
This is the old, tactic of the husbands. When they are guilty, they will use the blame game. They will tell the wife, you the problem, that you are the one who caused this. So you must remember, Quran refers to this, بَلِلْ إِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَاذِيرًا. Deep down, you know you are guilty, although outwardly you are giving excuses and they're saying this and so forth. So you must tell him, your husband, he's saying that Jannat lies under his feet, but he's having an affair. So he has become khabith, impure, immoral. That lady there with whom he's having an affair is khabitha. This is the terms Quran uses. Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 26. So nothing about Jannat, brother. Capital punishment awaits you. You and that lady committed adultery. In Islam, remember, then it is death penalty. So don't try and pull the wool over your wife's eyes and her mind and so forth and take advantage because you know she's naive or what have you. You have a tayyiba, a good wife, and now you want exciting things. So the shaitan comes, he makes the vices, he embellishes it, he beautifies it. Zayyana lahumu shaitanu a'malahum. Now when you caught offside, now you want to blame your wife. You should be severing ties immediately with that lady, apologizing to your wife, making tawbah to Almighty Allah. Not the other way around, that you want to justify your actions with that lady and blame your wife. So what you are doing is a sign of munafiq and hypocrite. So my brother, you better get a wake-up call and get your priorities right and understand what Islam is teaching.
3 years ago, my husband fell terminally ill, Mufti Sahab. I practically had to nurse him back to health, bath him, feed him, at the same time juggle a full-time job and look after the kids, Mufti Sahab. It was very difficult. Now that he is in good health, Mufti Sahab, he started to cheat on me. I am so hurt by this ungrateful dog. Please advise me, what should I do, Ustad?
Remember that, sister, what you did, Almighty Allah will reward you. And now your husband is breaking the laws of Almighty Allah, betraying you also. So now he feels, I'm back on my feet, let me start now, catching up on lost time. So what he does, instead of increasing his gratitude and thankfulness to Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, here he starts cheating, sending messages to this girl, that girl, and so forth, maybe meeting them, and then after that, Allah alone knows what happens. Every day almost we get these kind of messages. So you must remember, you need to have a heart-to-heart discussion with him. Remind him of how you took care of him and how you nursed him. And remind him that all the things you did for him. And instill that way he doesn't learn, get some ulama or senior members to speak to him. And still he doesn't listen, then you must tell him, you're going to take a temporary separation from him. That will jog his memory and then he'll come to his senses.
0847863132, that's our WhatsApp number. Ustad, I've got two questions from Australia. I'm going to ask quick, Ustad. One says here, what is the punishment of a woman who plucks, shapes her eyebrows? The second question from Australia, of course, the sisters in Australia. Some people say that a woman is allowed to recite and touch the Quran in the state of haid, due to the saying of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, to the extent that you should do like the other pilgrimage, except you cannot perform tawaf, no salat.
Remember that both things what you are saying are haram and not permissible. La'ana Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Sahih Muslim. La'ana Allahu an-namisa wal mutanammisa. That the people who do the plucking and the shaping and trimming and so forth of the eyebrows and what have you, so Almighty Allah has cursed them, and the person who does it, the beautician, whoever, she's also cursed. Regarding the Quran, to read it and all that in menses is haram. You must remember the Quran says, La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. You can't touch the Quran except when you are clean. Second one, this hadith in Tirmidhi, La taqra'u al-haidhu wal al-junubu shay'an min al-Quran. It's only the Salafi characters nowadays, some of them, they want to say all these things. We reject it totally. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hazrat Aisha, she can't enter the masjid. So obviously, they don't mean if you can't enter the masjid, then you can read Quran. So their istidlal, their dalil also is incorrect. So the point we're making, we must follow the four schools and don't follow the Salafis who don't know what's going on. So therefore, Almighty Allah protect us from them. Next up is the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We say Jazakumullah khairan to you, Ustad, and to all the listeners out there.